Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. And Father, as we open the word this morning, we just pray, Lord, that you just bless us, Father, Lord. We thank you for your presence here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Got an interesting topic this morning. We've got a theme this year, which is called the invitation. We're talking about the great invitation that God has given to every one of us, that we might know him in a deep and personal way, that we might come into the inheritance that he's given us, but also that we'd have a heart that would invite other people to bring them into the ways and the knowledge of God, that they might also know the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. So I want to talk about my topic today. It's called Dress to Impress. Now, I'm not talking about your physical clothing. I'm not a very snazzy dresser, I don't think. Some people are very sharp. I think Heather always looks very sharp. She's a sharp dresser. Some people are very sharp in what they wear, and some of these young men with their suits look very sharp. And I'm not talking about the externals. I really want to talk about what's inside our heart, what's really comes from within. And because important thing I want to say this morning, you just remember these words, that your witness is affected by what you wear. Your witness is affected by what you wear. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about your physical clothing. There's something that they have in the clothing industry which is called guarding your brand, and certainly in the high end of the retail shops, which I would never be drawn into or dragged into, some of these high-end branded retailing outlets, particularly in dresses and dress shops particularly, which for every man, we'd choose the dentist over a dress shop any day. And anyway, what they do is they have this thing called guarding your brand. And what it means is that basically when they have the branded store, is that the people who work in the store, that those shop assistants who work there, they actually wear the clothing of the actual store itself. So whatever the brand name of the store, if it's a branded store, the staff always wear that. They're modeling the clothes there. And the idea is that when you go in there and you'll see the staff all dressed up in this nice stuff that they're wearing, you'll think, gee, that looks really nice. It looks nice. Maybe it'll look nice on me. That you're modeling the clothes you're wearing in, and it makes it attractive for people to actually come and then want to buy those clothes. I want to talk about what we are wearing. What are you wearing this morning? There's a passage I want to read, quite a lengthy passage. I'll read it quickly. Matthew chapter 22, 1 to 14. You would have got it on a bookmark when you came in, but it'll also be up there on the screen, or it's amazingly found in your local Bible as well. Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14. It says, Jesus spoke to them again in a parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent more servants and said, 'Tell those who've been invited that I prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have all been butchered. Everything's ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. And then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the corners, invite to the banquet anyone you can find.' So the servants went out in the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot, throw him outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" And Jesus is telling this parable, talking about the kingdom of heaven. Now, he's already given a parable earlier and really hanging it on the Pharisees. The Pharisees got quite upset, saying, "Hang on, he's talking about us." Because the Pharisees were ones who were very much into external things. And now he tells them off about, you know, when they're praying, they wear these big robes and all this sort of stuff and look for all the best places at the banquets. They want everyone to honor them and look at me and all externals, but not a lot happening on the inside. And Jesus certainly corrected them, and the Pharisees took offense at that. Then he moves on and he talks about this particular parable here. Now, there's a number of things here. Obviously, there's a great invitation that's been extended out, that God wants people to be in eternal relationship with him. It says this is a parable of the kingdom of God, and he's saying, like, in the end times, there'll be this great wedding feast, and everyone has been invited to come. Everyone has been invited to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Everyone the scripture tells us that God's heart is for everyone to be saved. He doesn't want anyone to miss out. And so this invitation has gone out. Now, specifically, he's talking about the Jews there when he talks about those who murdered his servants, because we know many of the prophets came and many of the prophets were killed, stoned, tortured, a whole lot of things happened to them. But the bottom line is this invitation has gone out. But then there's some people who refuse that. Some say, look, I'm busy. I'm too busy to have God in my life. I'm too busy. I've got too many other things, too many other important things in my life. I'm not going to have God in my life, and tending to their own business, doing whatever. So people refuse that invitation. But the invitation's there. The invitation has gone out. And so God said, well, look, I've invited some people, but they just didn't want to come. And so he says, talks to his servants. Now, where are his servants? If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not only his child, you're also his servant, one that God commissions and sends out to work for his kingdom. And he sends them out and he says, look, you go and talk to people. He says, don't discriminate. Without discrimination, don't say, oh, that's a good person or that's a bad person. They make a good Christian or whatever. So just go out there. I want you to bring my invitation that I've already extended. I want you to go out and I want you to bring that invitation. Not discriminating, all good or bad. I want you to reach out. I want you to touch lives. I want to tell them, come in to everything that God has. God's got the fatted calf. That means the very best that God has prepared. He's very, very best. Some people just said, well, sorry, too busy for God. He said, come on, it's for everyone. And he wants us to compel, urge people to come along into that relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. But then the story takes this amazing little turn there, because there's all these people that have come in, they've filled the hall up, because those originally invited said, no, I'm not coming. And some of them then turned around and murdered his servants. And God wasn't too impressed with that. But then the wedding hall is filled and there's all these people that have been invited and all the guests are in there. Now, you've all been to a wedding and, you know, biggest wedding I've ever been to was a Sri Lankan wedding. It's about 300 or 400 guests there. Wow, that just blew me away. If you've been to a Greek wedding, well, it's probably a small number to some of the Greek weddings that they're around. But just imagine a hall filled with people. Brimming with people, and normally most wedding halls or reception centres are normally fairly nice. This one I remember particularly was fairly palatial in the way that it was set up, and everyone there, everyone around the table, and then the king who has got them all comes there, looks around at all the people there, and wham, I'm not going to point at anyone, they might get very worried, points to someone, and he says, mate, what are you doing here? Goes up to him and says, how did you get in here? You don't have the proper clothes on, you're not wearing wedding clothes. And he says to this guy, he says to everyone else, get this guy, tie him up, and I want you to throw him out with all the others out there who have rejected me, who didn't want to listen to my invitation. And there's something about what this guy was wearing, and that's really what I'm talking about what we are wearing, because it does obviously, in our own relationship, God is so important, but also how we represent Christ to other people, what they see. And Pastor Pat already alluded to some of these things which he's already spoken about around communion this morning. And so this man, that he'd obviously got in, he heard the invitation. Like someone said, come on, come in. And so he responded to that invitation. He came and said, okay, yeah, I'll go along, I'll check it out, I'll come to church, I'll go along, I'll check it out. And maybe this guy, he might have even said a little prayer. He might have said some words, but nothing really was connecting maybe in his guy's heart. And it's one thing for us to say, yes, I've been invited and I want to rock along. I want to be a part of the show. I want to be a part of what God has. But there's something about what happens inside. And that's what God really is looking at. And that's, so it's one thing to say, oh, yes, Lord, I accept you. But it's more than just accepting God. It's repenting is so important that we turn our life around. When you come to Christ, it's not like, oh, come, Lord, yes, I receive your love, but I'm going to hold on to all the stuff and junk in my life. And yes, Lord, I love you and I honor you. I know God exists and I know he's a good God. And yes, I pray to him. But my own life is still so full of junk and everything else that I don't allow God to touch my life. Never really repented, never really turned away from that. And some people will do that. They want to think they can get into the wedding, but they're wearing clothes. My question, what are you wearing this morning? What are your clothes? Because the invitation's been given. A great invitation. God has laid out his very, very best. And the invitation is to come, but there's something about wearing the right clothes. What are you wearing this morning? And as I said, I don't care what you're wearing physically this morning. It's what you're wearing as far as God sees, the God who looks into man's heart. Revelation 3:18, it says this, I counsel you. Now, this is for those who have never actually given their life to Jesus Christ. Because even if we're a good person, even it says the good and the bad, we still need to change our clothes. Scripture tells us, it says in Isaiah, that our righteousness, the good things we do, compared to the holiness of God, is like a filthy rag. I don't want to walk around in filthy rags. It says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. It talks about being clothed in radiance, in a whiteness. And the only way that we can have that radiance, the cleansing of our heart, is to give our heart to Jesus Christ. That's what we've remembered and celebrated around communion this morning. And so God has sent out this great invitation. And people say, oh, I'm too busy for God. I don't care. And so God says, come on, get them. Compel people to come. But when we come to God, God wants to look on our heart that we got the right clothes on. Because at the end of the day, when we all stand before God, we weren't going to stand before God and say, oh, yeah, look, I was a little Boy Scout, and, you know, I used to do that, and I used to help little old ladies across the road and used to do all these wonderful little things. God will say, hang on a minute, enough of that, that's great, but let me look at your clothes. What are you wearing? Have you got Christ in your life? Is Christ permeating your life? And that's the sole question that God will be interested in. That's the sole question that he'll be in there. And when this great wedding banquet's held at the end of the age and we all stand before God and stand before our Creator, and for those that have given our life to Christ, we get to go into the greatest party that has ever been held in the history of the universe. And God's got his very best. He's given us his best in the Son, but he's got slayed the fatted calf, which means the very best that I have is laid on for you. But he wants to look at your clothes and see, what are we wearing? Because what we're wearing, it really does affect not only our eternal destination, but it certainly will affect the witness and effectiveness that we have in compelling others and encouraging others to come into a knowledge of Jesus Christ. What are your clothes like this morning? Are your clothes dirty? Now, I'm not looking at your clothes physically, whether you got dirty clothes on this morning. You'll know whether your clothes are dirty. You don't need me to tell you. You don't need someone else. Because there's something within inside of us, this thing that God has put there, this conscience that convicts us. And it's a little nagging thing that says, yeah, look, you got some dirty clothes on. Now, the only way to get clean clothes is to come to Jesus Christ. It's the only way that we can get our life clean. But maybe this morning that you've lived in compromise, maybe you've gone and you played in the mud and you think, oh, it doesn't really matter, I'm not hurting anyone. But we soil our clothes. Our clothes get dirty. You play in the pigsty, you're going to get covered in muck and you're going to come out smelling like a pig. And sometimes we think that's sin. Oh, it's just a little sin. It's just a little lie. It's just a little thing. It's, you know, I'm just looking at something, but I'm not hurting anybody. But we dirty our clothes in that. And some people think then that if, you know, that, yeah, I've prayed a prayer and I go to church, but the rest of the time I'm playing in the pigsty and I'm playing with the pigs, and at that last moment when it all is said and done, that I can live like that. And the Lord says, no, when you come to me, you turn away from the life. I'll wash you whiter than snow, but stay away from the pigs. Now, we know we're not perfect. No one here can say that they're perfect in every way. Anyone who says that, Scripture says, if you say that, you're a liar. Oh, no, I'm not perfect in every way. And we all fall in different ways at different times. But the heart is that when we do, we come back to God and say, God, look, I'm sorry, I've just got dirt all over me. Lord says, come, my child, let me just wash you. Let me clean you up. Allow my righteousness, my holiness just to bathe you clean, to wash you. The blood of Jesus Christ is the thing that washes us whiter than snow, makes us radiant in Christ. But we can't have it both ways, and some people want to have it both ways. We can't do that. We can't have it both ways. We've got to give our heart completely to God. What are you wearing? Are your clothes dirty this morning? Because if you've got dirty clothes, then your witness is going to be tainted. You can tell people about the love of God. And someone was telling me a story this week of someone there that they're, you know, witnessing passionately, telling people about God, but they've got dirty clothes on. And the message doesn't stick when you're trying to speak something. If your life does not reflect God, if you're not reflecting Him in what you're wearing. Some people wear sackcloth. Talks quite a lot about sackcloth in the scripture. Break it into two words, sack and cloth. Probably gives us a good idea what it is. If I was walking around in a big Hessian bag, I'd chop the head out, put arms through there, and I'm walking around in something that would be very uncomfortable, very prickly against the skin if I was wearing a Hessian bag or a bag like a corn bag or anything, wheat bag, anything like that, wearing that sackcloth. Sackcloth for them was made out of goat's hair, and it was very prickly and very annoying to have that. And people would wear sackcloth. Why would they wear sackcloth? Well, you'd wear sackcloth if you were in mourning. If someone had died or if there was death or you were under extreme pressure and circumstances, an army was surrounding you, about to obliterate you, then you'd put on this sackcloth. And it's a demeanor that you can put on, and it's irritating to you. It's depressing, but rather than being dressed to impress, you're probably more dressed to depress because you're wearing this, and it's irritating, and it's a reminder of the circumstances that you're in and the difficulties you're in. And some people will wear sackcloth. They walk around, woe is me, my problems, my situation. Now, the situations of life are real and they're deep, and they affect us with such an intensity because we're human beings. We're made to feel, and we feel stuff when it happens, and it can affect us. However, we're not supposed to allow that to be the definition of my life and be the demeanor of my person that this is showing everyone. Because if you're going around with all gloom and doom and woe is me, I tell you that your witness to others is going to be severely compromised. Think, hang on, you're the most depressed person I've ever met. I don't want to be like you. And so there's something about whether we're wearing sackcloth or not. Do you do that? Do you wear the weight of the world on your shoulders and that's what you present? And because if we're Christians, there's something different that's got to permeate despite the reality of the circumstances that we face. Are we ones that put on sackcloth and go around in mourning? It's interesting when Jesus said to people, he said, when you fast, he said, look, don't be like these Pharisees. As I said, he hung it on the Pharisees because they're all outside and nothing inside. And he said to these guys, that when you fast, Don't go around like these Pharisees, though. They go around there and, oh, look, I'm starving. And they wear these clothes and all unkempt and look like they've been through the ringer. And he said, look, people like that, they've already got what they want. They want sympathy. These guys have got the sympathy that they want. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for sympathy. And he said that they've already got their reward in full. But he said, when you fast, he says, put some oil on your head, just look fresh. And put some clothes on, look, dress nice, comb your hair if you've still got some. Now he's not saying, I want you to be a fake or anything, but he's saying, look, your witness is not just for people, it's also for me. But we've got to make sure that we're real in life, we're real, we're not fake, but don't allow the problems of your life to be something that you wear. That's all that people see is your problem, because that means you've got sackcloth on. And it's depressing to you and it's depressing to others because it irritates your skin. It's just irritating. You're constantly reminded of the problems and the struggles of life. Don't wear sackcloth. We don't want to be like that. Other reason people wear sackcloth is if there's a sense of shame or guilt. And we think of like Jonah, when the king of Nineveh, when Jonah had gone there, Jonah had done a runner, he'd finally come back again and finally delivers the message that God wanted him to do. And then the king of Nineveh, he actually repents and says, man, this is terrible. God was going to come against us. And Jonah said, well, I knew God's gracious God anyway. It wasn't about that. But he, king of Nineveh, he puts on the sackcloth and it was carrying that shame and that real repentance upon his heart. He realized that. But see, some people clothe themselves in shame. They have sackcloth on and thinking, well, I'm never going to be good enough and I'm not good enough. And so they have that mindset and they have that attitude that, oh, look, I'm a failure, or I'm this and I'm that. And they wear sackcloth around, very sad. And then wonder why is my witness compromised? And I want to tell people about Jesus and the life that Jesus brings. Well, it's hard to be convinced of that when you're walking around in mourning and wailing or shame and that sense of shame upon your life. There's nothing more crippling on someone's life than to be carrying as burden of shame and guilt upon their life. It is a crippling thing. It'll irritate them like the sackcloth, but it'll cripple them as a person, cripples them in every way in life. And the only way to get rid of that is to come to Jesus Christ. It's the only way you're ever going to really deal with shame. If you're in shame of what you've done, or maybe what you didn't do and you know you should have done it, then don't go around with that sackcloth on. It's a time to change your clothes, change what you're wearing, because you want to wear the right stuff anyway. Not just so that you're a good witness to other people, but you want to make sure that if you don't know Jesus Christ, that you're going to come to know him. So when this big party, this big feast is held, that you're actually a part of that. Are we clothed with Jesus Christ? There's a scripture in Colossians 3:3. It says, For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And that's an important scripture. It speaks about the position that we have before God. That despite us, because of Jesus Christ, because of what he did on the cross, that I can have confidence before God. And I know that when I stand before God, it's not on my own merits, but it's because of what Jesus Christ has done. And my life is hidden in Christ. And so when God looks at me, he doesn't see the humanity and my weakness. He actually sees Christ and the perfection and the holiness that only Christ can bring and can give. And that's what he sees in my heart and my life. And I thank God for that. Because I don't stand before God on my own piety, my own goodness, which really is, as he said, like a filthy rag compared to God. But when I stand there, it's because of Jesus Christ. But then there's this other scripture, Galatians 3:27. So for all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. What are you wearing this morning? If you don't know Jesus, and I tell you straight away, your clothes, your filthy rags, I'm sorry, I don't want to offend you. It's not about offending you. I'm just stating the reality of the situation. Before God, it doesn't matter who it is, who we are. It doesn't matter about our heritage. It doesn't matter about our education. It doesn't matter if our parents were the best parents and the best Christians and the best whatever. It's our own righteousness before God. It's as filthy rags, us trying to be a good person. The only thing that qualifies us for eternal life is in Jesus Christ, to accept what he's done and allow him into our life, that he washes us. And he clothes us, and that we are clothed in Christ. Now, that's so important. What are you presenting to the world? You know Jesus Christ, but what do you present? Are you tainted with dirty clothes and compromise in your life? Have you soiled and you think that's okay? It's not. We need to bring things to God. He's a gracious and just and forgiving God. If we just come to him, he will lovingly embrace us. We sang about that already, and it's true, all the things that were sung about, that if we come to him, he will love us and embrace us and cleanse us, and he will put us right with God graciously. We can't do it ourselves. You can keep on trying as much as you like. You can try until you die, and you will die in your trying. But the only way to live is to find that in Jesus Christ, and that we can put on Christ. We're clothed in Christ. And our witness, what we wear, so much affects our witness, that I'm clothed in Christ. And so that when people see me, I'm not going around wearing sackcloth and moaning, woe is me. Even though things may not be going the way that you want and happening the way that you want, you're not presenting that. Now, I'm not talking about being fake and saying, oh, well, okay, I'm going to become a phony. He's telling us to be a hypocrite and a phony. I'm not telling you that at all. I'm telling you to be real to who we are in Jesus Christ. If our life is truly in Jesus Christ, if Christ is really in the center of our life, if we're clothing ourselves in Christ, then the stuff of Christ needs to come out and overflow and be projected outside of our life. Not the problems that we live in. They're there. They are a reality, but not the reality. Reality, the real reality, is found in Jesus Christ. And that's what we present, is Jesus Christ. And so it doesn't matter what we're going through, what sort of struggle that we're in. Yeah, we know we're going through a tough time. And we all have good days, all have bad days. I'm not talking about, oh, gee whiz, you know, I had a bad day. I'm talking about a demeanor. I'm talking about a lifestyle where we've got dirty clothes, soiled clothes, we're compromising, or where we're just put on a depressive thing of sackcloth and woe is me and wailing type of thing, and then also a sense of shame. If we've given our life to Christ, we've got to put on Christ, to be clothed with Christ, because what you wear will affect your witness. And if we've got Christ on, and I'll read some scripture just quickly just as we close in a minute, about what it's like, what does it look like when we've got Christ on, when we're clothed in Christ. But I tell you that people are attracted to what you wear. I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. What are you projecting to people? What's your witness like? When you send out the invitation, what are you putting on it? What are you showing? What are you demonstrating in that process? People are attracted to what we wear. There was a book that came out in the early 70s, which was called Dress for Success. It was called Dress for Success. And the premise of that book, not a Christian book, premise of that book, though, basically was saying that if you really want to get on well in your workplace, then you dress like your boss. I wrote a whole book just to say that little thing. If you want to get well on in your work, you can go home and try it. I'm not saying it works. That's what this guy wrote a book about. He says, if you want to get on well with your boss, then you dress like him. And so find out what your boss is wearing. You dress like your boss. You can try that if you want. They might laugh at you at work. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, for us, we want to dress like the one that we're representing. If we really want to please God, then we want to dress in such a way that we reflect him, that we represent him. And that is success in life. Success in life is two things. It's finding what the purpose of life is, and that is finding Jesus Christ. If you found that, you found the meaning of life, the universe, and everything. That's what it is to find Jesus Christ. But the second thing is then that you represent him well in the daily life. When you're in the muck of life, when you're in the trenches, when everything is going against you, when everything seems to be falling apart, when things are overwhelming, and it's like, wow, how does anyone... Well, I'm standing, I'm clothed in Christ. How come you're not like everyone else? You know, other people are vindictive at work. If they got treated like that, they'll be in there, they'll be undermining, they'll be cutting down, they'll be causing... You're not like that. You're just gracious. You're forgiving. What is it about? So, well, I'm trying to be like my father. I want to represent him well. But some people, you cross them and you're gone. And it happens in workplaces. It even happens in families, sadly, where we're not wearing Christ. We're not putting him on. I want to read Colossians 3, 5 to 12. I'll read this and then I'm going to close a little story this morning. But Colossians 3, asking yourself this morning, well, what am I wearing? Knowing that what you wear affects your witness. But if you haven't given your life to Christ, knowing that when you stand before God and the invitation's given, come on, come to me, I've got the very best for you, God's going to say, oh, hang on, let me just check, what are you wearing? Have you clothed yourself with Christ? Is your life hidden in Christ? Have you received the forgiveness of your sins? Or are you going to try to stand before me in your own goodness, which the best of you can ever do is like a filthy rag to me? Colossians 3, 5 to 12, it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. God's a loving God, a generous, gracious, loving God. But at the end of the day, God wants us to live a life and to love him and to allow what he's done for us to count in our lives. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which has been renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, this is what God wants us to wear, clothe yourself with compassion. Really easy to go around in a crowd and point out the dirty clothes. So easy to do. You walk down the street there and someone's there and they've been in a pigsty and they're covered with pig stuff. Very easy to point them out, and people might want to remind them, gee whiz, you smell like a pig. No, no, no. Compassion. We want to help them. We don't want to push them away. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Is that what you're wearing this morning? Clothe yourself with compassion. Are you compassionate or are you harsh? Are we judgmental or are we critical or are we compassionate? What's our heart? Are we kind? Do things beyond what is expected. You know, people might expect this, but no, I'm actually doing something beyond that. Humility, not thinking we're superheroes. We know who we are, but we know who we are in Christ, and that's really what I'm talking about. Gentleness, you know, are we gentle with people or are we brisk and are we rude? Patience, how many of us are patient. But I tell you what, if we wear these things, our witness is so attractive to people. People will look at us and say, there's something about you. There's something about you when they look at our lives. I want to read this little story. This is many years ago, an evangelist by the name of Jacob arrived in a village in Serbia. He met an elderly man there named Zimmerman, and Jacob began to talk to him about the love of Christ. Zimmerman abruptly interrupted Jacob and told him that he had wished to have nothing to do with Christianity. He reminded Jacob of the dreadful history of that church in his town, where church leaders had plundered, exploited, and killed innocent people. My own nephew was killed by them, he said, and angrily rejected any effort on Jacob's part to talk about Christ. He told Jacob, they wear those elaborate coats and crosses, but the evil designs and lives I cannot ignore. Jacob replied, Zimmerman, can I ask you a question? Suppose I was to steal your coat, put it on, and break into a bank. Suppose further that the police sighted me running in the distance but could not catch up with me. One clue, however, put them onto your track. They recognized your coat. What would you say to them if they came to you at your house and accused you of breaking into the bank? Well, I would deny it, says Zimmerman. And Jacob countered, ah, but we saw your coat, they would say. But the analogy annoyed Zimmerman, and he ordered Jacob to leave his home. So he's trying to say, you know, look, just because they're not really representing God. Even so, Jacob continued to return to the village periodically, just to befriend Zimmerman, encourage him and share the love of Christ with him. Finally, one day, Zimmerman asked him and said, how does one become a Christian? Jacob taught him in simple steps of putting his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Zimmerman got down on his knees and surrendered his life to Christ. And as he rose to his feet, wiping his tears, he embraced Jacob and said, thank you for being in my life. And then he pointed to the heavens and whispered, you wear his coat very well. And we want to do that. We want to wear the coat of our Lord well. We want to represent him well. That what we wear, our witness, is going to be something that will draw people to Christ. And for those of us who love Jesus Christ, I encourage you, represent Christ well. Clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility, those things that we said. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, I don't know why you're here today, what brought you here, but I know God brought you here. And my encouragement to you is don't go home with dirty clothes today. The only way to get clean, and it's the cleanness of the soul and of the heart, is to give our life to Jesus Christ. We can try to make it on our own, but we're not going to make it. We can try to be good enough on our own. We're not going to be good enough. If we're going to try to succeed without him, we're not going to do it. The only way is to give your life to Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that, we're going to close the service now just as the musicians come and we're going to pray. We give opportunity for people to come forward for prayer. And I give you that opportunity today. Maybe you've known the Lord, but you say, yeah, look, I've allowed soil on my clothes and I've left compromise and I really want to get right again. I really want to get my life right with God again. Maybe that's you this morning. But maybe you've never actually given your heart to Jesus Christ. And this day you say, look, I want to give my life to Jesus. I really want him the center of my life. I want to wear him. I want to be hidden in Christ and I want to represent him well. We'd love to pray with you. Let's stand to our feet as we pray this morning. Let's just pray.